How is everyone? It's good to be here with you today on this Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to those who are mothers, and happy day to those who are not. We all get to enjoy it. I was going to wear a tie in honor of Mother's Day, but my mom doesn't go here, and I didn't think a tie would look good with this shirt, so why don't we pray, and then we will talk a little bit. Dear God, thank you for today, for being good to us. Thank you that we can take a moment today and have a day where we do what we should do every day and be thankful to you for the nurture that you've put in our lives. Be thankful to you for our mothers, how you have provided. Take every good gift that we have in our life. Our mothers point us to you because you care for us and you have given them to us. So God, I pray that what we read in your word today would be encouraging to all of us and especially to those who are mothers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I didn't mean to give away the introduction and the prayer, but we're going to take a little break from Matthew today, and we're going to look at something that I hope, if you're a mother, will be encouraging for you. And if you're not a mother, I also hope that you will find something in this text as well. But you can decide for yourself as we go through it. So when I started thinking about what we were going to talk about today, and then I backed up and thought, okay, how does that interact with our lives? The first thing that came to me, and see, I'm not a obviously, right? I'm not a mother, so I don't have a lot to speak on, but I have a mother, and I've seen how kind of it works. So if you would permit me to talk about you to you, and when I get it wrong, just be gracious with me. It seems to me that being the whole subject of motherhood brings a lot of pressure with it. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems that being a mother brings a lot of pressure. It starts with these weighty, weighty questions, you know, will I be a mother? Life-changing questions. Will I be a mother? Can I be a mother? Do I want to be a mother? When will I be a mother? With whom will I be a mother? These are big questions. Pressure comes in. And then some people want to be a mother and aren't able to be. And so there's tension and pressure. Others don't want to be a mother and maybe experience pressure from other people from the outside. You should be a mother. And then there's the pressure of being a good mother. Am I being a good mother? That seems to me, if I was a mother, I think that, well, as a father, that's something that makes me feel pressure. Am I being a good father? Sorry, am I being a good mother? I don't feel like I was or am being as good of a mother as I should be. That seems to me like that would make you feel condemnation and feel guilt. I want to prove that I was a good mother. That's a pressure-filled thing, right? My wife and I, as we were drifting off to sleep last night, put on a show, and it was one of those, you know, funny little sitcoms, and it was about a family, and the mother, it was funny, but it was painful to watch, but the mother built up to Mother's Day by the week before Mother's Day, spending time with her kids and asking them, kind of off the cuff, but it turned into just a painful, funny situation, asking them what they would change when their parents, what they would do different than she had done. And she was obviously expecting them to say, well, nothing. The way you did it is exactly how I would do it. And that wasn't exactly how they answered. And so comedy ensued. There's the pressure of being a good mother. And on top of that, that's like emotional and whatnot. But then there's just the daily pressure of getting everything done, getting the diapers changed and the clothes washed and all the stuff you have to do and the work done and the providing and the food and everything that goes into having people that you're responsible for. That's a lot of pressure. That's going to sleep at night is a vacation. And then there's the pressure of we want kids that turn out to be well-behaved and, you know, do things right. And at the end of the day, they're successful and even admired by other people. We want them to be the good examples when they're talked about, not the don't be like those, not pointing at imaginary kids. Don't be like those kids. Saying that, there's pressure with being a mother, and I think that maybe the pressure around being a mother maybe starts to bend our focus into the logistical parts of being a mother. What is being a mother? Well, it's getting everything done. It's deciding, will I be and when will I be? Will I have children or not? And then just taking care of everything, making sure everything keeps going and trying to stay on top of everything. And then am I doing it well or am I not doing it well? All the logistical things become the focus of motherhood. But there's something else. There's something bigger than that. Being a mother is more than just getting things done. And I know I'm speaking to mothers today, but Father's Day is coming in a month, maybe? I should put it on my calendar, so I think about what I want. But Father's Day is coming shortly, so we'll go to the other side of the street for that. There's something more than just getting everything done, than fulfilling all the things that bring all the pressure into being a mother. There's something more important than that. There's something more important than handling all the logistical stuff. There's something bigger than just keeping up with all the daily tasks. Being a mother is more than just raising semi-well-adjusted, kind of okay kids. It's bigger than that. Being a mother is having the responsibility, holding in your hands the responsibility for forming the faith of your children. That's what being a mother is. It's being a spiritual mother. That is the most important part of being a mother. You hold in your hands the spiritual formation of your children. You get to form their faith. You get to show them what it looks like to have a relationship with God. You get to help them know Jesus, whether it's your children or your grandchildren or anyone else who you might be a surrogate mother to. You get to form their faith. That's the big responsibility, the big part, the important part of being a mother. Whether the dishes get done every night, and on Father's Day I'll come back, that should be us too, but okay. But whether the dishes get done every night is not nearly as important as whether your children, you form the faith of your children to know Jesus. Look at Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus is talking to his followers, and he's going to give them a big overarching commandment, and you're going to say, well, what does that have to do with motherhood? I think it has to do everything with being a mother. Jesus came to them, Matthew 28, verse 18, and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples or followers of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. That's what everyone who follows Jesus is supposed to focus their lives on, helping other people learn how to follow Jesus, bringing them to the moment when they say, I want to make the decision that I will give myself to Jesus, so I will repent and be baptized, and then walking with them and teaching them to obey everything that Jesus commanded after that point. That's what we're all supposed to do. And so if you say, well, that's what everybody's supposed to do, so if what about Christian mothers? They should do that with anyone God puts in their life. And who are the people who God has put closest to you? Other than your spouse, it's your children, right? It's your children, it's your grandchildren, it's other people who will look to you as kind of a surrogate mother. Why do I keep saying that? We'll get to that a little bit later on. You should especially fulfill the Great Commission with the people that God has put the closest to you, with the people that you see day in and day out, with the people that you could arguably have the most influence on. It's an incredible, I said responsibility, it's an incredible opportunity. Being a spiritual mother is such a bigger, being a mother is an incredible opportunity. Being a spiritual mother is a so much bigger opportunity than being a mother by itself. It's helping your child know God. It's guiding them to have faith, to connect with the Savior. It's helping them walk day by day to be conformed to the image of Christ, not waiting until they're adults and then someone else will teach them that. No, it's you walking with them and showing them how to be like Christ. It's helping them make their decision to follow Jesus. It's helping them become God's child, and then it's guiding them. It's being a spiritual mother is guiding your children into eternal life. Mothers give life, and we celebrate that, and that's beautiful, but that's a shadow of being able to help guide someone into eternal life. That's the reality. I want to look at an example with you today, kind of as our main text, and several texts, so I pasted it into my notes. You'll have to flip around. I did that in my office. I'm kind of cheated. But I want to look at the example of a young man named Timothy. Why are we going to look at a young man on Mother's Day? We'll get there. You probably can see where this is going. The text that we're going to look at today is not as much a commandment as it is an example. It's an example of what being a spiritual mother can look like, what the results of that can be. How do you be a spiritual mother? Who is Timothy? Look at Acts 16. Acts 16, verses 1 through 5. This is where Timothy first shows up in the Bible. So, let's see here. Paul, this is the Apostle Paul, who's in the middle of a missionary journey. What does that mean? Well, that means he traveled from town to town and started churches, him and his group of people that were working with him. So Paul also came to Derbe and Lystra. A disciple was there, so he's a Christian, named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer. So his mother was a Jewish lady who grew up in the faith. And then she became a Christian. That's when she was a believer. That means she was a Christian. But his father was a Greek. So you could take that to mean that his father was not Jewish. But since there's the but after his mother was a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek, probably his dad wasn't a Christian either. He was well spoken of, Timothy was, verse 2, by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him. And so, because Paul traveled with this group of people who he did ministry with together, he would come into town and they would start teaching and discipling people, teaching people what it meant to follow Jesus. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. So he got him ready for going with him on his missionary journey. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered, so this is the whole group of them with Timothy, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. Go back to chapter 15. They had a message from the main leadership at that time, and they took it to the other churches. And then in verse 5, so the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. And then after this, Timothy kept traveling around with Paul, planting churches, teaching, learning how to teach other people to become Christians. He followed with Paul, learned from Paul, and Paul would refer to him in letters to Timothy, aptly named 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, my son in the faith. So Paul kind of became a Christian father figure for Timothy. And now look at 1 Timothy 1, verse 3, the first letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. He's writing him a letter. That means they're not together anymore. He's not part of Paul's big entourage that's going around planting churches. Paul had left him behind, but for a good reason. So 1 Timothy 1, verse 3, as I urged you when I went to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine. Then he goes on through in 1 Timothy, and he tells him to install elders, and he tells him what to teach and how to live as an example. And Timothy is leading the church plant in Ephesus, and he's establishing it. He's someone who now, he went from being a young man who went with Paul and learned with him how to start churches and how to teach people to follow Jesus, to being someone Paul was able to leave behind once a church had been started and say, okay, you continue there, build it up. Help these people, make this be a solid church where people know Jesus and have leadership. He had matured. You could say he had become kind of like another Paul. Look at 2 Timothy 2:2. He tells him the things that you've heard from me, teach to other men who will be faithful to teach others as well. So it was like Paul had taught Timothy, and then he said, Timothy, teach others and teach others. Timothy had become kind of a miniature version of Paul. He had matured. He had become someone who, he was making a huge impact. So you ask yourself, maybe you don't. I ask myself, how did Timothy become this person? What brought Timothy to be the kind of person where he was a believer and everyone spoke well of him in the church, and then Paul was able to come and say, okay, come with me, and then he just kind of left everything and started learning how to plant churches, and then he was able to be a church planter and a church establisher. How was he able to do that? What formed him? Look over at 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 5. And so as Paul writes his second letter to Timothy, Timothy's still somewhere else working. He might be in Ephesus, I'm not sure. He's somewhere else working, and Paul is writing to him to encourage him and to kind of steer him in the right direction. Paul says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. So then Paul kind of pulls back the curtains and says, okay, this is what happened with Timothy. Timothy's grandmother was a person who loved God. She was a believer. She had faith in God. She lived her life as someone who had a relationship with God. And then her daughter, Eunice, had the same relationship with God, passed down from her mother. Her mother formed her faith. And then he said, and now you have this same faith. Where did that faith come from? Well, from his mother and from her mother. The mothers in this scenario are forming the faith of their children. That's what's happening here. They pass their faith on. I'm sure they you know, fed Timothy and gave him, you know, a place to live and helped him be educated. But more than that, they helped him know Jesus. They helped him know God. They gave him a relationship with God. Paul doesn't say that they raised you well and you were a good, honest, you know, young man, and then I taught you to know and love God. Timothy already knew God and had a relationship with him when Paul came along. That's where he got it from. It was formed by his mother, by his grandmother. Look a little farther in 2 Timothy 3, verse 14, a couple pages over. But as for you, so Paul is talking to Timothy still, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. Now, same book, same letter. So he's writing the letter, same letter that we just read a minute ago. Who did he learn what he believed from? His mother, his grandmother, the ones who passed their faith on to him. Continue in that. And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. What's he saying? Since you were a kid, a child, a small child, your mom, your grandma, what did they do with you? They read the Bible with you. They taught you the scriptures. They read whatever, you know, Grimm's fairy tales or whatever the time was popular. They read the Bible with him. That's what stuck with him. They formed his faith. He doesn't say, as for you, continue in what you've learned. Remember how your mom used to take you to church and once a week they would read the Bible to you. That's a wonderful ministry when people in this body teach the children. That is beautiful. But the main way that children's faith gets formed is not by once a week having the Bible read to them. It's by their mothers and their fathers teaching them to know and love Jesus by reading the Bible with them. Okay, what verse were we in? 15? How from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are now able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. You learned this when you were a child. Your faith was formed. Your mother and your grandmother formed your faith. Your mom was a mom to you, but she was also a spiritual mother as well. They taught you the Word of God. And the most incredible thing about this, so we see this example of Timothy. You can do the same thing with your children, with the children God's put in your life, with the people who are around you, who look to you as a spiritual mother. You can be a spiritual mother to them. So then the question is, how? How do we do this? Practically speaking, that's a pretty story about Timothy, but how does one do this now? How do we be spiritual parents to people? How can you be a spiritual mother to people God's put in your life in practical terms? And as we think about that, I want to address one thing really quick, because as we think about, okay, I can be a spiritual mother and I should form the faith of my children, And maybe for you, as you think about this, you're flooded by thoughts of lost opportunities. Wherever you're at in the journey of motherhood, maybe you think, I didn't do that well. I wasn't the spiritual mother that I could have been to my children, or I didn't have children, but there were other people who looked up to me, and I could have been more of a spiritual mother to them. I didn't do that, or I didn't do it as well as I could have. And see, this message and this teaching is like everything that comes from the Bible. It's a message of hope, and it's a message for the future. God's grace covers our past. You and I can look as far back in the past as we want, or as short, yesterday, and we can have regrets, and this is another message, but God's grace covers that. This isn't a message about what we haven't done up until this point, or what we could have done better, because Satan traps us in that condemnation and says, feel bad for what you could have done differently, and distracts us from what God would have us see as an inspirational message of what we can do differently today and tomorrow. And in this case, how you can be a spiritual mother to people in your lives from this point forward. And maybe you have done that, and you have maybe some regrets. This is not a time to think of the past. It's a time to look towards the future, because our God is a God of second chances, who says no matter what yesterday looked like, you can be like Timothy's mother and grandmother to someone in your life today. You can be a spiritual mother now to your children, to your grandchildren, to your nieces and nephews, to other people who are around you. So the first question is, how do you be a spiritual mother? Well, the first question is, who can you be a spiritual mother to? Maybe you're sitting with people who you can be a spiritual mother to, because you're actually their biological mother, your children. What about other people who are around you? Other people who maybe your children are growing and gone, and you could still be a spiritual mother to them, but you say, okay, there has to be more to that than this. See, we think that being a mother has to do with being a biological mother, and being a mother obviously has to do with that. But being a spiritual mother is bigger than that. In God's kingdom, you can be a spiritual mother to people who aren't your children. You can help other people come to know Jesus. I think Titus 2 talks would be referring to that on some level. You can be a spiritual mother to people who look to you as a surrogate mother. You can be a spiritual mother to your biological children, but then you can be a spiritual mother to other children in your life. If you take care of children, or if you're a grandmother or an aunt, or whether you're related by blood or friendship, if your spouse has children from another marriage or from a past relationship, you can be a spiritual mother to any children that God puts in your life. You can be a spiritual mother to people who aren't even children. I've seen this as I've watched godly women progress through life, and other people look to them as a mother. People who aren't with their mothers, or for whatever reason, distance separates them, or relational problems separate them. They look to these ladies as their spiritual mothers. And you can be a spiritual mother to people who are old enough to be mothers of themselves. You can be a surrogate mother to people who are all growing up, but they need their faith to be formed by a mother. So who are the people in your life that you can be a spiritual mother to? Second question, how can you form the faith of these spiritual children, whether they're your biological children or not? How do you form their faith? Well, what did we see in the text? How did Timothy's mom and grandma form his faith? With the Word of God. They read the Bible with him. They read the Bible with him. That the most basic thing, and it's the hardest thing to do every day, and for some reason, it's the grace of God, but I don't know why it's happening, but my kids come to me every night and say, we're going to come to our room and read the Bible, right? And every night I'm like, oh, I'm so tired. I'm like, why? Why is that my reaction? See, our first duty as parents is to read the Bible with our children. We should read the Bible with them. How can you form the faith of your children? In a word, by reading the Bible with them. But let's dig into that a little bit more. How do you form the faith of your children? Well, look at Timothy's mom and his grandmother. They had authentic faith. You form their faith by, living your faith in front of them. Your children will have their faith formed by you. You will pass your faith on to them if you have authentic faith, if you have a real relationship with God. If they see you struggle and confess your sin, if they see you fast and pray, if they see you sing, if they see you read the Bible, if they see you curb things in your character and try to be more Christ-like, that if they see you talk about Jesus to other people, then you will be forming their faith. They'll see the example in you. You do it by praying for them. The Bible doesn't say this, but you have to think that Timothy's mom and grandma prayed for him probably every day. Do you pray for your children, your spiritual children? And then, okay, here's another little example. And I think, okay, how can you be a spiritual mother? So those are kind of like abstract concepts, but what about, I skipped too far ahead. There we go. Okay. What about thinking about what mothers do and then connecting that with the spiritual side? What do mothers do? Well, they give life, right? You're a mother, you give life. That's what it means to be a mother. You can't be a mother biologically unless you give life to a child. Well, if as a spiritual mother, what about helping your child find spiritual life? Not waiting for someone at the church to teach them how to make their decision to become a Christian, but you teaching them what it means to give themselves to Jesus, to repent and be baptized, walking them through that decision, studying the Bible with them. And then mothers teach their children to eat, right? And that's a painful process. But what does that look like to teach them to eat spiritually? It's walking with them. Have you read your Bible today? What book are you reading in the Bible? Here's a Bible book as they learn to read that you can read yourself. It's teaching them to feed themselves, to read the Word. It's teaching them to pray. It's teaching them to sing. It's teaching them to learn how to know God and spend time with Him. Then mothers teach their children how to walk, how to take their steps. There's a metaphor there. As a spiritual mother, you're to help your children take their next step. Show them what their next step is. There's something in your character that's not Christ-like. Let me help you believe the gospel and conform that to Christ. Look at your sin. That's why you need a Savior. Even before your children are old enough to make the decision to follow Jesus, as they sin and as rebellion comes out of them, those are teachable moments to say, That's why someday you're going to need to make the decision to follow Jesus. You see that? You think you're a good person, but you just lied. You sinned. Who took that sin to the cross? And you talk about the gospel with them as you're teaching them to see their sin, to take their next steps. And then mothers prepare their children to live as adults, right? How do you prepare your spiritual children to live as adults? You teach them to talk about Jesus to other people, and to pass their faith on to others. So if the greatest responsibility and the greatest opportunity that mothers have is to form the faith of their children, to be a spiritual mother, what do you need to do to live that out in your life? Maybe for you, the first step is not being a spiritual mother, it's being a daughter. Maybe for you, it's becoming God's daughter, and making the decision to give yourself to Jesus and to repent and be baptized and let Him be the Lord of your life, because you can't take someone where you're not. And if you haven't made your own decision to follow Jesus, you can't form your faith fully in your children, because you have not given yourself to God. And that's not just an invitation for mothers to become God's daughters. It's an invitation for all of us to become God's children, to repent and be baptized. And in this community, when you're ready to make that decision, tell someone, and you will be guided through that process. And you say, okay, I already am a Christian, so what are some practical steps for being a spiritual mother? Think about the two questions. Who am I a spiritual mother to? Who can I be a spiritual mother to? And then, what do I need to do to form their faith? Do I need to make a change in my character? Am I not portraying an authentic relationship with God because of something in me? Is my anger or my lying or my lack of time with God not showing something authentic to my children? Do you need to start a daily habit with your children? Maybe something as simple as just opening the Bible and reading it with them every day, or praying with them, or teaching them to sing to Jesus. Or maybe your children are at a point where you need to study with them and walk them through becoming a Christian. I don't know if there's any back there, but grab a copy of I Want Peace with God. Walk them through that study. Read the book of Acts with them. Show them how people made the decision to follow Jesus. And if you're not a mother, say, I promise you this at the beginning. If you're not a mother, how does this apply to you? help the women who are mothers in your life to fulfill their responsibility to form the faith of their children. Encourage your wife, encourage your mother, encourage your daughters, encourage the people who are part of your life who can be spiritual mothers. Don't put barriers in their way. Don't put obstacles in their path. Don't, you're going to go with the kids again. It's our time to watch TV together. No, let them get out of the way and let them be spiritual mothers, even to people that aren't your biological children. And then guide them in their relationship with God. If you guide a mother in her relationship with God, your wife, for example, you're guiding through her the people that she's guiding as well. And then encourage her as the day-to-day grind of just things, just because that pressure that we talked about at the beginning becomes overwhelming. Encourage her. Remind her of what's eternal. Remind her that the most important thing in life is forming faith in her children, not getting all the tasks done every day. So, question for you, if you're not a mother, how can you help any mothers in your life to be spiritual mothers to the people around them? Why don't we stand? We'll pray together and then we'll sing. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good. We thank you because you love us. We pray, God, that you would bless and inspire and encourage those who are mothers. God, I pray that the vision of Timothy and his mother and his grandmother would be inspirational to everyone who is a mother, whether it's a surrogate mother or a biological mother, and that you would help grow our hearts a desire to guide other people in their faith and to invest in the people that you've put around us, to not ignore our children, our grandchildren, little nieces and nephews because they're tiny and they're not ready. Help us to form their faith from the very beginning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.